Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, another solo episode again today for another mini episode. And bear with me, I'm kind of exploring some different ways that we can make use of this format, these smaller episodes. And I want to try a little something different. I want to talk about maybe some lessons that we can learn at non-CDH tables from the CDH metagame. So for those who are not in the know, CDH stands for Competitive Commanders, Competitive EDH. It's a metagame within the Greater Commander format that sits within the extreme, highly consistent, highly efficient part of the overall Commander game. Now, not all cards are equally powerful in all formats or even all metagames, but there are certainly lessons to be learned from how people are brewing with powerful cards. And there is one really powerful card that came out of Commander Legends, and it probably is not what you're thinking of. This card is a new commander and a new partner, has made a big splash in CDH and has made some of the fastest decks in the format even faster and more consistent. And if you bet on seeing Rograkh, Son of Roga, as the card I wanted to talk about today, well, you win. So Rograkh is a 0 mana, 0/1 legendary creature kobold warrior. It is red with first strike, menace, trample, and partner. So how is a kobold of Carekeep with jokey upside keywords being considered among the most powerful new commanders in CEDH? Well, in CEDH, one thing to keep in mind is that Rograkh's power comes not from having necessarily a lot of keywords for a low price, but it's the fact that this is a creature body that you will basically always have access to at zero cost for mana or cards from your hand. This means that there are a ton of cards which add significant amount of consistency and efficiency to these decks, which suddenly becomes much more viable. So, for example, Culling the Weak goes from being a slightly worse version of Dark Ritual, as you also have to sacrifice a creature to get those 4 black mana, to a strictly better Dark Ritual. Infernal Plunge in red holds a similar place, increasing the potential density of fast mana ritual type sorceries. You also see fast mana increasing even more, with cards like Mox Amber now being essentially always on for Rograkh, when you can play your Mox Amber for 0, play Rograkh for 0, and then tap it for red. In a similar vein, as long as you have at least 1 mana in your hand to get going, Springleaf Drum fits a very similar mold, where you pay 1, and then you can tap it, play Rograkh, tap it for a mana of any color, you essentially have a 1 mana Arcane Signet. And last time I checked, 2 mana for Arcane Signet, that's pretty good, even in CEDH. Now you might be saying, John, look, fast mana is great and all, but I don't really play with fast mana. What the heck else is making Rograkh so powerful? Well, the free Commander spells from Commander 20, which came out alongside Ikoria, get much better when you can consistently hold them up for an investment of 0 mana and 0 cards for your hand. If you're worried about something going on the other side of the table, and you have Fierce Guardianship in hand, you can play Rograkh for 0 and hold up Fierce Guardianship ready to interact on your opponent's turn. If you have an important combo piece that you want to make sure you protect, simply cast Rograkh, and then Deflecting SWAT is turned on and is ready to go. Further, powerful tutor effects like Diabolic Intent get much better when the cost is 0 extra mana and 0 cards from hand to get the body onto the battlefield that you need to sacrifice to turn on Diabolic Intent. Polymorph type effects also get much, much stronger when the setup cost is 0. Being free, Rograkh is potentially insane alongside cards like Cloudstone Curio, where you can play Rograkh for free, return another creature to your hand. Well, I mean, what would you want to return to your hand? Well, what about Dockside Extortionist? This can allow for a very cheap Dockside loop, where as long as you are manufacturing 3 mana between your Dockside Extortionist and recasting it for 2, it's netting you 1 treasure every single time. Well, that's great and all, but if I'm not playing CEDH, what do we have to learn from this? The lesson for us to learn outside of CEDH is sacrificing is intended to be a cost. Having a reusable dork in the command zone, always willing to jump out on top of, let's say, Ashnod's Altar, can be extremely, extremely valuable. Or what if he just volunteers to be victimized for you? I mean, that's a really great way to get a very powerful reanimate effect. I mean, imagine playing an early Buried Alive followed by Victimize. Simply play Rograkh, and who knows what ridiculous bonkers cards you can get out of your graveyard that way. It's very cheap, very effective, and no other downside now that you've gotten Rograkh in the command zone. Next, that if you control your commander phrase, or the for each time you've cast your commander type thing, these may be phrases that we see R&D leaning on in future design to make sure that cards that are made for commander are not breaking legacy or vintage. So maybe there's some classic go wide white red X decks out there that are going to exploit Rogue Rack with commander's insignia to make sure you have a really powerful anthem. Why not add an additional +1/+1 for free to all of your creatures on the battlefield? Why not try out Imperial Storm and get an extra free angel with no extra cost of cards from hand or mana cost? What if we start to look at some Aristocrats deck instead? Let's look at black, red, and some other color. We start loading it up with Grave Pact effects, so it's very easy to just mow down your opponent's creatures and not let them have anything. Well, if you combine that and keep the boards clear with Rogue Rack, and you've now cast Rogue Rack once or twice, can you imagine just using something like Skull Storm as the finisher? For each time you cast it, you copy it, just like those other Commander Storm spells. Each opponent sacrifices a creature. Each opponent who can't loses half their life rounded up. Forget tending somebody. If you've cast your main partner once and Rogue Rack twice, you've just taken somebody down to 5. That is nuts. On that note, are there any actual Storm cards out there that actually get there when the Storm count is essentially free? Mind's Desire comes to mind as a possible option, maybe Dragonstorm, where if you're getting essentially 2 free dragons out of your deck for 9 mana, that sounds not too bad. A little bit more realistically, in terms of playable cards at a reasonable cost, Empty the Warrens is probably just about on rate at that point. 4 mana for 4 1-1 goblins, that's not too bad. I think inside of some kind of a Storm shell, outside of True CEDH, that is a place where Rogue Rack could potentially shine. And last, but certainly not least, let's just imagine a world with Skull Clamp. Oh wait, you can already imagine a world with Skull Clamp? What else do I need to say? Rogue Rack essentially would allow you to play a deck that has an easy time or just wants to get Skull Clamp out in general. Maybe some type of red-white X tokens build or some black-red X tokens build. It's going to want Skull Clamp anyway, just to be reusing creatures. Rogue Rack essentially will provide you almost an Ancestral Recall level of value. Play in for 0, equip for 1 colorless mana, draw 2 cards. So Rogue Rack is that helpful little kobold who's ready to just hop out of the command zone and put on his shiny new Skull Clamp, or jump on Ashnod's Altar, or be happy to victimize. The lesson we want to take away from this is that 0, that cost of 0 on a partner is exceptionally powerful for not necessarily what he himself brings to the table, but for what he can offer to the other cards that are in your deck. In CEDH, many times, it's less a matter of what specifically your commander is trying to do, but how instead your commander enables the powerful cards that are already in your deck. Rogue Rack turns an entire category of different cards, from cards that are looking for a cheap body to simply throw away and use at the sacrifice cost, to cards that are looking to up a storm count, or cards that care about if you control or have cast your commander. There are a lot of options out there, and we've explored just a few of them. So the lesson I want you to take away from CDH this time is, don't overlook that 0. It could potentially be a very powerful addition to your command zone. If you're looking to play around in red anyway, if you're looking to do some sacrificey things, our friends in CEDH are paying attention to Rogue Rack for a good reason, and I think you should as well. Are there any other commanders from Commander Legends who are being overlooked? Any other lessons we should look at from CEDH for a future video in this format? Be sure to let us know. Leave a comment, add us on Twitter, send us an email. We'll be back next week with a full-length audio episode. Until then, I'm John, this is Gemstone Mine, take care. You can reach the crew from Gemstone Mine on Twitter at GemstoneMineMTG, or send us an email at GemstoneMinePodcast@gmail.com. On YouTube, we're Gemstone Mine Podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, and hit the notification bell.